It's Monday, April the 25th, and you're tuned in to the TNIAB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show, where we talk about all the cool things in the world. And if you didn't hear it, if you didn't hear it here, that means it just wasn't cool. This week is it's a medium-sized show.
Yeah.
It's medium. We're going to finally talk about Bravely Second.
Yeah.
Or at least we'll try to talk about it. We got some decent picks, and looking over our weeks, there's some conversation to be had.
Is there?
I think so.
We'll see.
Let's get right into it. Bravely Second. Longtime listeners of this podcast will know that Bravely Default, the I guess...
3DS game?
Yeah.
The prequel?
The prequel to Bravely Second, yes. The first in the series, one would say.
I wouldn't say that.
Was our game of the year 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, collectively, we unanimously chose Bravely Default as the game of the year.
I found my file for the review I wrote on that game.
Yes.
And I remember, I gave it a 4.5.
Fucking idiot with
his math. Four out of five, not 4.5. 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, my complaints about it were, it got tedious when you had to repeat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, thinking back on it now, like, it wasn't that bad to me.
Yeah.
Maybe in retrospect, it's like rose-colored glasses, but...
Yeah, I think I would have to agree with that score and that assessment. I don't think I was super... Yeah, like, the tediousness of beating it, we used to be, like, 5 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of was annoying. But I think the thing that I wanted was just to have a denser world.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there was only like 4 cities.
Yeah, that wasn't a lot.
Yeah,
there was a town. There was a major town for each
of the crystals. Yeah, and then
there was like some side towns and stuff.
Yeah, but they were never really huge. Yeah. And that's what I like about JRP. Like there was no, it just didn't feel like a fully imagined world.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my biggest gripe with the game. But I think
we gave it the game of the year because of what it did.
Yeah,
which
no.
Which is, it brought back old school JRPGs.
Well, first of all, Game of the Year here is decided by something we can all collectively agree on.
True.
So it's very rare that we agree on something.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why I was in the running. But yeah, the ending of that game.
It's bonkers.
Man, it just goes there. So yeah. So we've been pretty hyped about Bravely Second.
Mm-hmm.
Demo came out last month. And then the game came out this month.
So talk about the demo and I guess a little bit of the game.
Sure. Yeah, we both did the demo.
Yeah.
The demo is... Honestly, I couldn't tell the difference between this game and Bravely Default at first.
Uh-huh.
It was a different... it was different characters and different environment
job,
and setting.
And job classes and stuff.
There's like 2 different job classes in the demo. But the one thing that really... stood out was just the additional feature of the one more.
Mm-hmm.
One more. Is it one more battle or one more time?
I think it's one more time.
One more time. Where essentially if you go into random battle, take out the enemy.
In the first turn,
it'll give you the option to have an immediately second battle with a multiplier added on.
Yeah.
So you get more experience. 2 rewards. Yeah. More money, more job points. And it makes grinding super effective. Yeah.
But also your turn usage stays
the same.
So say I killed all the characters. Say there was one enemy and I killed it in one shot with one character. In the next battle, that character still has a -1 on their turn.
Yeah.
So you can't just go forever.
Yeah, but I found out there's a max on it.
Which is
a 3.0.
Oh, like, really? Okay.
You can only get up to till your multiplier hits 3 times.
Okay.
And I think that's around the 8th or 9th. Consecutive turn?
The highest I've ever gotten is like 4 or 5.
Really?
Yeah.
The highest I gotten was 14. I kept getting lucky where it would go, your party's feeling brave.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it just kept going.
I did 4 or 5 with the Exorcist.
Oh wow.
Yeah, to like steal turns.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was fun. Like I had tons of fun. I liked the band of characters you get to roll around with, the 3 Cavaliers plus Magnolia.
Yeah.
So just as a side note, I really like the 3 Cavaliers as a group.
They're cool.
And just because of how much fun they are, it kind of really upsets me to see that Final Fantasy XV's cast of males aren't like this.
Yeah.
They're kind of like emo boys.
Well, that's I think this is their series where they do this stuff with. Like, they do this kind of jokey, lighthearted stuff with.
Yeah. Because they even have, like, a Power Rangers entrance theme to stuff.
Oh, yeah, they do with the...
And they have fireworks in the back, yeah, and it explodes.
That's sick.
Yeah, and when Magnolia's there, she has one too, and you're like, this is so cool.
He's really good, man.
Yeah. But no, that's the demo, and it introduces another town that you can build with your villagers.
I think the demo's the moon. Yeah, the moon. Yep. Also, the demo is an exclusive side story. Like, you're not going to get that story out of the main game if you haven't played the demo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's also you also get like extra items on your quest when you start the real game, so it's fun to play.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things about it that I forgot that I really liked about Bravely Default, like they stole the one thing I love from the Tales games of the party chat.
Yeah,
when you're walking around town and you just need extra, I guess a little bit of extra bits of story here and there just to develop the characters a bit more.
Yeah, insight on your characters, insight on the town.
Yeah, I really dig that. Agnes takes the role of Irie from the first game now.
Yeah.
She's in the pendant.
And she's like not so good party navigator.
Yeah, she's kind of horrible. Because
her sense of direction is garbage.
Yep. But yeah, no, it was more or less the same type of experience as Bravely Default, and I kind of was a little conflicted about that. Mm-hmm. In one hand, it's like, yeah, I like this, but I was hoping for more.
Okay.
Like, I was hoping, like, they would expand on the idea a bit more, but it seemed like the same thing. But this was just the demo, so going into the main game,
yeah,
I'm about an hour in.
Okay, and I'm, like, well, third man TJ is the farthest out of all of us.
Yeah, I'm,
I'm about, I want to say, six to
what eight. Chapter are you on?
Chapter one?
Oh, okay.
Because you start on chapter zero.
You start on prologue, yeah.
Yeah, prologue. So I'm on chapter one, probably like 6 or 7 hours in.
Okay.
And so far it is more Bravely Default.
Yeah.
The thing that sets this game apart from the previous game is really in the job classes.
Yeah.
The job classes get really interesting.
Cool.
Do you care if I tell you about one of them or like just one?
You can tell me about them, but before you go there, there's something I also want to talk about, the job classes from the demo.
Okay.
I didn't realize that if you mixed certain job classes with different abilities, you can cross their abilities.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, you could...
So, you have a job and, like, a sub-job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that would affect your actual abilities. Like, you could use either or you could use hybrid variations at an added cost, but...
Yeah.
It was cool to see, like, oh, I can now... Like, if I have a mage...
Mm-hmm.
With like a fire amp, so I do extra fire damage, but the enemy absorbs fire. Yeah. I could cast that fire as physical damage instead.
Yeah,
or I could cast it immediately at the start. Like, I was just like, that's really cool.
That's not even a mix. That's just that one class.
Oh, that's
that sorcerer class, I think.
Whatever, the wizard.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's just the wizard class.
It is
the wizard class. Just does that. Like, it turned into a hammer. Or a turn dart version.
No, yeah, but I was using it with my red mage stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because, right. Like, I know the wizard has heat and frost and stuff, but if you use the red mage's stuff, like Fyra, you could take that and then mix it with his stuff.
I didn't know that.
So that you could have all those extra abilities.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think there's another one. I can't remember.
The Songstress?
Yeah, that must be it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Songstress with the whatever the buff dude is. Or they're both buffers, but they're in different ways.
Yeah, the
Astrologian.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. But yeah, so anyways, you're going to say job classes.
So job classes really kind of get a little crazy in this game. My favorite one so far, I won't tell you how you get it, but it's called the Charioteer.
Okay.
And the Charioteer is kind of like almost like your barbarian class. It's like, just go berserk with melee weapons.
Right.
But the fun thing with this is... So all of your base stats, your base proficiencies on your weapon start at class C, like C rank.
Okay.
But every time you attack with that kind of weapon in a battle, it goes up one level. So it goes to B, to C, to S, and it caps at S.
And, okay.
But the cool thing is that you can tri-wield weapons with the Charioteer by removing your head armor and attaching a weapon to your head.
Mm.
And then you can triple attack.
But does that take your damage output and divides it by three?
Yeah, but you still get overall more damage.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, obviously, if your weapons are up to snuff.
Okay. Right?
Like, if you just have one weapon from that's, like, three dungeons from where you're supposed to be, like, that's going to destroy everyone.
Okay.
And then, like, there's different classes taking it, or different skills taking advantage of each class's mm-hmm. uniqueness and mm-hmm. stuff. It's mm-hmm. it's really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I got to try the mix and match stuff like you did. So.
Yeah. But other than that, it's more, you'd say it's just more Bravely?
It's more Bravely. The story, the story's a lot different.
Hope so.
Yeah, it's no more, it's, or it doesn't seem like it's more crystals, like go to the crystal.
Yeah.
Find the crystal.
Yeah, would you say it's as simple?
Currently, yes. Okay. So currently 8 hours in, it's like, here's the big bad. Big bad has done something bad,
mm-hmm.
and you have to stop the big bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some twists and turns, like, within the story, even at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing too out of line.
Okay, I don't... Okay, have I ask you a different question? Not so much the complexity of the story, but, like, is it a dense story? Like, is there a lot going on? Or is it more just like, we gotta go from A to B, we'll get to A to B, but nothing happens in between?
So far, a lot of the denseness comes from the lore and the party chat.
Okay.
So, like, learning how the town of Alcampus works.
Yeah.
Like, why this town the way it is and stuff like that. And that really builds on the world. And in my experience from the past game, also helps you be more invested in the actual main story.
Okay. All right, then. Interesting. Okay.
But it does the typical JRPG thing of, like, this is the sequel to the JRPG. So, like, the places in the last game that were the final... Mm-hmm. areas that were the hardest or whatever, they're like the first things you do.
Of course.
Yeah. And it's like, to show like how much stronger these dudes are and how much more of a task your objective is and right. stuff like that.
Right.
Mm. But it's just like, for me at least, this kind of game doesn't really happen anymore. At least the one in what I play. Mm. And this is really the only place I get it. And so even if it is a little bit more of the same, it's still kind of fresh because these kind of games don't come out that often, or I don't play these games that much.
Yeah, I think Atlas is doing its part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they seem to have...
But yeah, man, if you want to play, what's it called? Hyper Dimension Neptunia, they got your back.
Sure, but I was going to say, their 3DS catalog is pretty full.
Is it?
Yeah, they introduce a new JRPG, like, every 2 months.
I honestly don't play a lot of Atlas stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it's like... Stella Glow, Legend of Legacy. Actually, that might be Square.
I think Stella Glow is...
No, I meant Legend of Legacy. I can't remember. But regardless, there's plenty of this style of game. I don't know how many of them are actually good, but they're out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. From what I played, I like... What are the actual new features they've done? Because the only thing that I could see are... Obviously, there's new job classes... And the one more
thing. One more. There's a lot of convenience features. So in terms of auto battling, you can preset auto battle commands.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, okay, I'm in this area. In this area, these enemies are weak to fire.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna make this preset for the forest,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I can go in and auto battle.
Yeah.
There's presets for job loadouts. So like in the last game, every time you change a job, you have to go back into equip.
Yeah.
And then like,
oh yeah, I saw that.
You have to re-equip all your items so you can make loadouts for, it's like, okay, I want to play my, Astrologian
yeah.
on this one character,
yeah.
but I don't want to unequip and re-equip everything. Yeah. So I made this loadout
uh-huh.
and you can save that. There's a lot of, it's a lot of convenience features. I guess like the other thing would be a mini game that's, uh-huh. That I just unlocked, like,
oh, okay.
as we were here.
Mm.
I just unlocked this minigame. But it's... So far, it just seems like an additional way to gain money.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it gives you any, like...
Items or...
Items or any in-game stuff. Other than that. So far, it seems like a semi-interactive music box.
Right.
You know when, like, in the older games, you can, like, oh, look, here's just all the songs that you can listen to in the options menu.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, yeah, this is like a semi-interactive soundtrack.
Mm, I see.
Yeah, I'm still way early. Yeah, so far it just seems like a lot of convenience features that are new.
Oh, okay, cool. The other thing that I saw, I couldn't remember if this was in default, though, was if you're going through the battle, right? Mm-hmm. And you're selecting your command, and you say you select attack.
Yeah.
I didn't realize instead of hitting brave 4 times first,
yeah,
you could press it after the fact.
And just attack 4 times right away.
Yeah.
I don't think that was in the first one.
Yeah, because I was like, this is so much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've learned a lot from their mistakes with the first game, and they've corrected.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All of them that I can think of.
Yeah. Like when you said the job loadouts, I'm like, oh, I saw that in the, it's in the tactics menu, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, that could be useful.
Yeah, you could still abilla link with your friends.
Oh, yeah.
So if your friend has a job class that's higher level than yours, mm-hmm. you can link to, like, you can share powers pretty much.
Well,
And
you can share attacks and stuff. Yeah,
share attacks and you'll get a bonus and stuff. It's pretty cool.
You can summon your friends.
Summon your friends is separate. That's Street Pass. But you can still do that. You can still customize your own special moves. And name your special moves whatever you want and have own like catchphrase and stuff.
That's right.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, the other thing you could do was, actually I can't remember. They brought back the moon.
Yep.
The village building game.
Yeah, the village building game is now on the moon. And it seems like the moon plays a story later on.
Yeah. Or
plays into the story later on.
Yeah, it seems like it. Otherwise it wouldn't be there. Yeah, visually still looks awesome, like the towns.
Whenever wicked. Every single time I go into a new town, I wait for that pan out.
Yeah.
And I just crank 3D to max.
Oh, I'm only playing in 3D.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I think this is like one of the only games where I wanna play in 3D.
Yeah.
This game utilizes the 3D of the 3DS so well.
Yeah.
And it even utilizes its sleep mode.
It does.
With getting your stop time moves.
Right? Oh, like, that's
from the last game too, but like I feel like this game takes advantage of everything the 3DS has.
Yeah.
Like even the gyro sensor.
Yeah, I was going to say, going back to the demo a bit, did you have an AR card for the beginning of that?
I didn't. I looked up the AR card and then I scanned it off of my computer.
Oh, yeah.
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 But it's just like a little, it's like a cool little interactive movie.
Where you're independent.
Yeah, yeah, it's sick, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, like, this game uses the system to like its fullest.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It's really cool. How's performance? Have you found there's slowdown on yours?
No. Mm-hmm. I haven't found any slowdown yet. The only thing that came close was probably the water.
Mm.
I got a boat. But really nothing.
Okay.
Like, nothing that's just like, whoa, slow motion.
Yeah. I think, like, because I'm only playing in 3D,
mm-hmm.
The frame rate sometimes, like, for a second will dip.
Oh, okay.
It's not huge. It's, like, going from 20 to 25. But it's enough to be like, oh.
Are you playing on a new 3DS?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's all I want to know if you had.
Okay. So, yeah, because the 3D capabilities are a lot better on the new 3DS, I only play in 3D like once in a while.
Okay.
Just because like if you move the original 3DS just like even slightly, you get like the double image.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh yeah, I forgot about that. So when I forgot that I had the new 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you turn on the 3D, I totally forgot there's a second camera that tracks your eye. And I'm like, what's that red light looking at me?
Stop.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it really works. Yeah, I don't know how much else I can say just because I haven't really experienced too much, but I'm liking it so far.
Yeah, like, us talking about it kind of sounds like a downer, I felt,
mm-hmm.
because it is more the same, and it seems like the only thing added is more convenience features.
Mm-hmm.
But that's to say, like, it's more the same of a game that was our game of the year.
Yeah.
And it's more the same of an already fantastic game. And also, I'm only, like, 8 hours into, like, a 60-hour thing.
I will say I really, really enjoy the writing.
It's clever. It's funny.
Yeah.
There's been a couple places I've read reviews on where they kind of bash the writing.
Yeah.
Like, they don't like it that much, but I'm really enjoying it. The party banter, like we said, it's the kind of the lighthearted.
Yeah. So the game has like a, for as dark as the tones of the overall story gets, the actual moment to moment stuff is kind of lighthearted and super silly.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because we like that kind of stuff. Like, it shows in the type of anime we like and the type of games we like.
Yeah.
So I can understand if someone who wants a more serious...
Who wants brooding. Who wants Final Fantasy XV.
But then, I don't know, is there ever been a JRPG that's been 100% brooding and serious? Because to my knowledge, being lighthearted and fun is kind of the...
But usually, I feel usually that lighthearted stuff is for side quests, and is not just in your face in main story stuff.
Yeah.
So, like as you're going through the main story, you're getting this lighthearted writing.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, in let's say, I don't know, Final Fantasy XII. That's all about like overthrowing governments and having the stone stolen or the throne stolen from you and stuff like that. It's pretty serious. Mm-hmm. It's only when you get into side missions and monster hunts where the silliness kind of plays.
I guess so.
Maybe it's just like the distribution of brooding to silly. Like people just want more brooding and less silly instead of more silly, less brooding.
I don't know. I'm cool with it, especially with the art style.
Yep.
It's it works for me. But yeah, I got nothing else to say unless you have more to comment on.
Yeah, I wish I played more. I wish I played more before this week was over, but...
Yeah, same, but we'll discuss why I didn't later.
Excuses, let's do it! We'll
okay. Let's move on to our picks of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start off... Hey, did you know...
No.
...that there's going to be a Power Rangers reboot movie?
No, actually, no.
What? You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah! And the kids have been cast. I can't believe I didn't talk about this before, but yeah. Anyways, the first official image of the villain, Rita Repulsa,
what?
Has been revealed. She's being portrayed by Elizabeth Banks.
From Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
What? Elizabeth Banks? You know Elizabeth Banks is white, right?
No. The only Elizabeth Banks I know is Elizabeth Banks from Fresh Prince, the character.
Wow.
The rich older sister.
No, Elizabeth Banks. Blonde, blue eyes.
What did she do before?
She did that. Oh man, she's done a lot of stuff. She's in the Hunger Games.
Okay.
The one that looks like a clown all the time. The makeup, the MC.
Oh, what? Her?
Her.
Oh man.
That's Elizabeth Banks. She was also in that movie with Seth Rogen where they film porn together.
Oh, Zach and Miri.
Make a porno. Yeah, she's Miri.
Oh, okay.
That's Elizabeth Banks.
All right.
Anyways. Hermage came out, and the first thing I think is, hey, it's Poison Ivy.
I was getting a little Green Goblin for some reason.
Oh, I could see that too, yeah. It's definitely a new take on Rita Repulsa.
She's not repulsive.
No.
That's for sure.
So the amount of liberties they've taken with Rita Repulsa being different, I'm actually super excited to see what the Power Rangers look like now, because there's no way they're bringing back the original costumes.
There's no suits.
Oh, that'd be fucked up.
Or it's suit only, no helmet.
Ooh. Ooh. I don't know how I feel about that.
All the guys are buff wearing crop tops.
Maybe. What if they had chainsaw guns?
Chainsaw guns? That'd be pretty cool.
That's a nude
Power Rangers. And then Rita Repulsa stole someone's wife. And then he had to go find his wife.
Jeez. Yeah. I'm into this. But yeah, first image came out. I don't know what to think of it. I mean, I love Power Rangers, but I don't hold any sort of ties to it in the sense that I don't feel like I'm being violated by this reboot.
Have you been constantly keeping up with Sentai recently? Because I know for a while you were keeping up on like every Sentai show and... Like Kamen Rider and Super Sentai.
Yeah, I kind of dropped off this year.
Okay.
I just couldn't get into Kamen Rider Ghost. And as for Sentai, I dropped off after the train.
Oh, okay.
With
the English ghost? The white dude as the ghost?
Actually, that's a lie. I dropped off at the dinosaur one.
Dinosaur Batteries.
Yeah, I dropped off there.
Okay.
Although I heard that one was pretty good.
Saying that we should have a Sentai
Club?
Sentai Club?
But yeah, no. So I haven't been keeping up. Yeah, so I don't really care.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I love Power Rangers as a kid. I always will. But
do you know what the overall consensus on this Rita Repulsa is? Like, are people just be like, oh, it's not an 80-year-old Japanese woman?
So I think like a lot of people are super. They're kind of like in my situation where like, yeah, they're kind of really disappointed that they've gone for such a drastic direction change.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like. We all don't actually care.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter. Like, I wouldn't say that it's to the point of the backlash with comic book fans and Batman versus Superman.
Okay.
It's not like that. It's more just like, we're kind of disappointed, but, apathetic.
Power Rangers.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. It's almost like no one wants to admit they still like the Power Rangers, so they kind of don't care.
Okay.
You know?
But everybody loves.
Toku fans, though, tokusatsu fans, are kind of like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
What's happening?
What has happened here? Please, what the fuck?
They had a mixed kid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's Elizabeth Banks. Next up, I'll keep it on the movie train. I forgot to write this one down, but did you know, you like 21 Jump Street?
I did.
You like 22nd Jump Street?
22 Jump Street was okay.
What if I told you there's a third one?
I think I heard about this.
What if I told you it's not just 23rd Jump Street?
Isn't it like they go to space or something?
What if I told you it's 23rd Jump Street cross Men in Black?
Oh, yeah! So did this actually happen? This wasn't just like an internet joke?
I'm pretty sure this is real.
That's awesome.
Sure. Why not?
Dude. Stop praying to space Jesus. He ain't got time for your shit.
Except
space shit to
okay,
do.
Okay, sure. Whatever.
Apparently they're not bringing back Will Smith.
For what?
To reprise his role
in Men in Black?
Yeah.
Really?
For the Men in Black portion.
Oh, I didn't know.
I think that's what I saw on Twitter.
Oh. I know he turned down Independence Day. I didn't know about the Men in Black one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Who knows?
It sounds fun.
Yeah, sure.
I'm kind of down for that.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, cool. And lastly, Nintendo announced and released the Star Fox Zero anime.
No, the Star Fox Zero CG short film.
Okay, yes. It was 14 minutes long. We watched it.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Yo, that was just nostalgia trip. Yeah. That was just memory lane of N64 Star Fox.
It wasn't bad.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun to watch.
Like I'm not wishing for more.
No. Although I kinda do want to see a campaign's worth, let's say. Of this anime.
Which route though? Which campaign route?
The one where you get the tank. The hard route, of course.
You get the tank in the easy route too?
No, you get it in the second mission. Mode. The second mission.
Oh, you want
the heart.
That route.
Yeah. Where you get the sub and then the tank.
Submarine. And then you fight in the X zone.
Yeah. That route.
And there's like a female pilot in the X zone
or
something.
Yeah, that's right. And if you finish that route, Fox can see his father.
And Andross is a brain.
Yeah.
He's just a brain. You fight him in all range mode.
Yeah. Speaking of which, there was tons of all range mode.
There's a lot of sound effects. Bombs are still really polygonal, like,
and they have a giant bee on them.
So stupid.
Peppy says dual barrel roll.
Yeah, he said dual barrel roll.
Slippy gets shot down.
Falk was a hot shot.
And Fox is just awesome.
Yeah,
they can do that thing where they can charge their gun and lock on to more than one target.
That's stupid.
Oh
no, they can only lock onto one target.
But isn't that the best upgrade?
Why do they have two?
Isn't that the best
upgrade?
That makes it
too easy.
But the reason I brought this anime up is because a lot of fan speculation has led us to believe that Nintendo revealed the NX in this short.
You see, Falco playing, Star Fox on the Super Nintendo, pretty much?
Yeah.
And he has a controller in his hand that hasn't been seen.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
But looks like something that's plausible to what the NX is promised to be.
It looks like the Wii U Pro Controller, but extended out to the size of the gamepad with a flip-up screen.
Yeah. What did it remind me of? Remember those old mini PS1s?
Yeah,
Where you have the flip-up screen on the PS1? It kind of reminded me of that, but maybe not as big.
Yeah, and just add on the handle things to the side.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what it's going to be, that's what it's going to be. Cool.
Like, they're just, if it's the size of the gamepad, it's not really portable. Like, when they promise, like, technically you can bring it places, but it's not, like, I'm not putting that in my pocket.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely big, but we live in the world where, have you seen the newest iPad?
It's huge.
I mean, fuck, people bring that around.
So I saw an interesting infograph this marketing company put together. The distribution of app sales across devices and where apps are making their most money.
Yeah.
And it turns out because phones are getting bigger, tablet market is getting smaller.
Yeah.
Because the screens are like, that's big enough, and it's eating into tablet market. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, that's interesting.
That was always the concern.
That's cool.
Because it was like how small will Apple make the iPad, for example, with the same rate they're making the iPhone just as big.
Yeah.
Right? And At the end of the day, they were only going to cannibalize themselves, but I guess that's why they went bigger on the other end. Mm-hmm. But,
and then at one point on that end, is it like, this is too big, I might as well have a computer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a laptop. Yeah. Or even like a Surface Pro.
Mm. Yeah. But regardless, I mean...
That's an aside, holy shit.
Who knows if we saw the NX. If that's the NX, I'm pretty cool with that. Sure,
yeah, why not? Yeah, it looks cool.
Why not?
I'm always down for wackier controller designs.
I'm not.
Like, I really liked the PS3 Bananarang.
Mm.
When it was first unveiled, like the banana telephone.
Yes.
I was down for that. That would have been awesome.
No. No, it wouldn't have.
That would have been awesome.
No.
It perfectly fits the curvature of my hand.
No,
Vince.
It doesn't.
Perfectly.
No, it doesn't. Are you one of those fools who have the split keyboards?
I used to have a split keyboard.
Wow.
It's ergonomic.
Wow. Do you know why they don't sell those anymore?
Not getting carpal tunnel.
Because it just doesn't fucking matter.
I'm not getting carpal tunnel, Vince.
Okay. Those are my picks. What are yours?
My pick is just one pick.
Uh-huh.
So a while ago, I think maybe a year or two.
Sure.
There was a book that made the rounds that was coming out of Japan. It is called English Phrases That Don't Appear on Tests.
Hot.
And what this book is, it's pretty much an English study guide. So a lot of people in Japan, even though it's their second language, find English difficult. And English, it's a difficult language. And so these guys have made a study guide or like a phrase book pretty much to help you study, but with phrases that would never appear on a test.
You don't know that.
True. Would nearly never, pretty much never appear on a test. And they were accompanied by funny pictures, and it kind of went viral. And so a new edition of the book has come out. And along with this, there is a Twitter account. It is capital NISE underscore TOIEC.
Okay.
Nisei Toik? 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 Toik?
Good job. Okay.
Whatever. Hopefully that you'll buy the book, I guess.
Yeah.
But, man, some of these goddamn pictures and phrases in this thing are just hilarious. I'm not going to repeat any of them because a lot of them are emphasized by the picture that is shown with the phrase. But there is a Kotaku article out. It is called, the Kotaku article is The Return of Japan's Strangest English Textbook. It's from Brian Ashcraft. And you can see a lot of stuff there, or you can go onto the Twitter account, like I said.
Yeah.
And find some stuff. But I spent like not an hour straight.
Wow.
But like an hour throughout the day scrolling through this goddamn Twitter account.
An hour?
It's so good. Like five, yeah, just like 10 minutes at a time, six times.
10 minutes at a time?
10 minutes at a time. It's really funny. I really like them.
Man, exams have been rough on you. You're going fucking nuts on this
shit. exams were so hard.
I was gonna say, like, because this stuff is pretty funny, but...
Guess how many video games I played this week?
Two?
The amount of Bravely Default I played on Monday, because that was the only day I didn't have exams. And that was it!
Wow.
I've just been in the library.
Nerd.
It hurts.
You loser.
So much studying.
Should have studied more during the semester.
Huh?
You should have studied
more. I did.
Get smarter, asshole.
I'm like, I know this, but I'm going to roll into this exam, and I'm going to blank. I got to refresh. Mm. And then me with a refresher for me is, hey, let me take 10 pages double-sided of notes, and then refresh.
Sure. Well, since we've already gotten into it, that sounds like that's what you mostly did for your week.
That's almost what I did. If you want to hear about six study habits, then I got you covered.
How about you tell me the other things you did when you had some time?
When I had some time, I had time 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago.
It's because 2 weeks ago, I just remembered I played Pokken Tournament.
Oh, yeah.
And I totally forgot to talk about it all this time on the Wii U. So Pokken Tournament is the new Pokemon fighting game. Released by Nintendo and the Pokemon Company, and it is kind of their take on Tekken, almost, but a lot simpler.
Isn't it technically developed by Namco?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's not like, it's kind of like Tekken, but it's not Tekken. They do, okay, so they do some weird shit in this game. So from the outset, the game looks like a 3D fighter.
Mm-hmm.
But certain moves and certain combos do these things called phase shifts. And when you phase shift, you go from a 3D fighter to a 2D fighter.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, like, because I could never get the, watching videos, yeah. I could never get a hold on what the camera's supposed to be at.
Yeah. So when you phase shift, you go into 2D fighting.
And that's like side to side.
Yeah, and side to side. And then when you phase shift again, you go back out to 3D fighting.
Mm.
And the thing is, certain characters have different move sets for different phases. So some moves carry over, but other moves are different.
God, this sounds horrible.
It's there's no depth in this game.
No?
It doesn't, at least to me, it doesn't feel like it. I played it, I remember, for like 2 hours. It didn't feel like there was any depth.
But I saw Machamp do like a 1,000-hit combo.
Yeah, that's just a special move.
No, I could have swore he was juggling.
You press two buttons at the same time and it does your special move.
But it's 1,000 hits.
It's 1,000 hits. That's depth. 1,000.
Can't do that in Marvel.
Yeah, he does the JoJo Oda.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, there's a good chunk of characters in there. Assists don't feel like they do anything.
There's assists?
Yeah, there's assist Pokemon. So you can get like a Lapras to surf, and he surfs at your opponent.
Okay.
It also takes out certain projectiles. Or like there's Eevee. Eevee gives you like a 5% attack boost for a certain amount of time. Just the thing is like you don't get to use those assists more than once a round.
Oh.
Yeah, like, it's not Marvel versus Capcom assists. You're not just spamming Lapras attacks all day.
That sucks.
Like, you have a meter. So you're a trainer, and you have a meter.
You're not the Pokemon. You're the trainer.
You're the trainer telling the Pokemon what to do.
Oh, my. Because
you're picking your Pokemon, and you're like, go do a 1,000-hit combo, Machamp.
This game suddenly got a lot less interesting.
Go ham. So, like, the controls is you're controlling the Pokemon, but you're supposed, like, it's supposed to be, hey, you're the trainer. Telling, because you have the controller, you're telling them what to do.
Do this shit, yeah.
Yeah. And also there's, like, a side announcer who, like, cheers you on, and the more she cheers you on, the faster your assist
interesting
meter grows.
Interesting.
But again, like, I've only ever used an assist twice when it goes to a third round.
Okay.
Right? So it's like I use it in the first round. It hasn't charged enough for the second round. But if I happen to win or lose that second round, depending on what happened in the first round, and I go to the third round, then I can use my assist again.
Okay.
It's a very simple game. It is a button masher. It is cool to see all of the Pokemon special moves and stuff.
How many Pokemon are there?
Okay, there's Machamp, Blaziken.
Oh, please don't list them all.
Gengar. The chandelier.
He's doing it.
what else was there?
Okay, is there more than 20 or less than 20?
Less than 20.
Oh my god, this game's worthless. It's worthless.
I think it's in the teens. Oh, like low teens.
This is worthless.
It might be 10, actually.
Let's not even bother then. Jeez, there's only that many?
Yeah, it might be 10.
Oh my god.
It might be less, I don't know.
It's because to me, it's like Smash Bros. Cast or nothing.
No, it's not. God.
Okay.
There's Shadow Mewtwo's, I guess, first run.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares about Shadow Mewtwo?
Who cares?
But it's just super simple. Like, this is straight up. This is like the Mario Party of fighting games.
So with regards to the camera, is it advantageous if you have your own screen for each player?
Yes. So there is a certain thing. Do you remember when we? Wait, no. Gundam fixed that. Virtual on.
Oh. I was thinking Zone of the Enders.
Or Zone of the Enders, yeah. It was always advantageous to be on player one side. That's a great example.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you say you have two classic controllers,
yeah,
and you're not playing with the gamepad,
yeah,
like, it's that setup.
Oh, shit.
Right? When you're in the 3D phase shift, and when you're in 2D phase shift, it's a little better.
Yeah, but it seems like you're almost always in 3D.
Yeah, but it still seems kind of biased towards the player one side.
That sucks.
But if you have the gamepad, like, you can pick assist and secret. You can pick your characters in secret, like blind pick your
characters. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And it's like you're on a second arcade cabinet.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Still kind of unfair.
Yeah.
Because you have that small screen, but okay, sure.
I don't like, I don't think it was worth, like, it's worth at 70, or at full price. It's like, it's 74 here.
So it's a full, so it's
full retail?
$60 in America.
America. I played from it, even though it was only the versus mode, I don't feel there's enough there to warrant that kind of price tag. But yo, man, that Pokken Tournament controller's pretty hot. Because I bought it.
Why?
I don't know. It was there.
Why?
It was $30.
What?
It seems so cheap.
No.
It seems so cheap.
Isn't it just a GameCube controller?
No, it's like made by Hori.
Oh, that Pokken.
It's like.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah.
Two joysticks, but it has ZL and ZR.
What are you going to use that for, really?
Pokken Tournament?
You don't even have the game.
I don't know.
Gosh, you troubled soul.
It's in box still.
Oh, God. Okay, tell me about something else.
The other thing I did was this weekend after exams. I went to go see a play, a live play.
Mm.
I saw
because there's non-live plays.
I don't know. I'm just spending time here. I saw Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, that's nice.
So Rocky Horror Picture Show is like this classic. I don't know if the movie came first or the play came first.
You're asking the wrong person.
Yeah, I can't remember, but it's like this. It's classic piece of media.
Okay.
Following a cast of transvestite, somewhat seemingly sex slavish characters.
Yeah,
and it's like an offbeat comedy.
Yes.
Yeah. So I saw it in, it's like some college in Windsor was hosting it.
Windsor.
But the play was really good. Like that college, like all the actors and actresses were like spot on. I thought there was maybe like there was a couple like mix ups with lines, but it was like nothing really noticeable. But overall, I thought Rocky Horror Picture Show was really funny, and now I really want to watch the movie.
Oh, nice.
So the story of Rocky Horror Picture Show, at least in this play version, because I heard there's differences between the movie and the play, is that a young couple's car breaks down in the middle of the road. And they're like, oh, hey, there's a castle. We just passed it. Let's go walk back to that castle and ask to use their phone.
Mm.
And from there, obviously, they don't let them use their phone.
Yeah.
It turns into this one guy who is a transvestite, male transvestite, is the, what's it called? He's like pretty much the leader of the castle.
Yeah.
He's the ringleader of the circus freaks, pretty much. And it's this weird castle where you want people to experience sexuality to its fullest.
Sexuality.
But also it's like part Frankenstein.
Oh.
Because they create like a Frankenstein monster.
Interesting.
So Rocky in this situation is they created a sexy Frankenstein.
Oh.
He's like this really buff dude with a huge dick.
Okay.
That they made specifically for sex purposes.
Oh.
But then the movie even goes weirder than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, that movie, that play goes places.
Okay.
In places that I kind of just, you never would have expected. The one thing I really did like about this play, though, is that at the beginning of the play, before it started and before the intro, an announcer came on and said, welcome, turn off your phones, all the usual. But it said, we encourage participation.
Oh, yes.
And you can use props. So people, like, straight up, like, who know this play, brought props and had one-liners to say at the characters.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
The one fun part was every time the narrator came out, the whole thing was that you're supposed to boo him because he's boring, because he's narrating. It's like, boo him off the stage, you're boring! And this guy had to act through everyone heckling him.
Yeah.
It was really funny during the car breakdown part where they're trying to traverse through the rainstorm.
Yeah.
A bunch of people just brought water guns and sprayed other people in the crowd so it was raining.
Man.
And like other people brought, because in the play they're using newspapers.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
people brought newspapers to hide themselves from the oncoming showers.
That's cool.
It was really awesome. There's a wedding scene, people throw rice into the air.
Yeah.
My favorite one of the ones, every time you hear the female character's name, her name is Janet.
Janet.
You just yell slut.
Oh, that's cute.
And then every time you hear the male character's name, I honestly forget his name, But you just yell asshole.
Oh.
Right? Because they both turn out to be kind of shitty people.
Yeah.
Right? And there's just, yeah, there's a lot of one-liners. And the actors knew this. Like, so certain lines, like there's one character whose name is Magenta.
Yeah.
And he's like, come over here. And then someone goes, what's your favorite color? And then yeah. And then they'll be like, Magenta. And then he's like, thanks. Right? And there's just people in the crowd doing that. And the actors have... like, no, this is going to come. And yeah. So they leave time within their delivery for these audience quips, right? It's really skillful, like, because the audience, like, they can just decide not to quip, yeah. right? I guess more so they would.
How do you know the audience is all organic? How do you not know the audience isn't part of the play?
It's not all organic. I know that for sure. There are certain people in the crowd who are part of the act, and they're there, like the super clever ones yeah. that come out. I'm like, there's no way okay. someone who doesn't work for this theater yeah. company did that.
Okay.
But there's still a lot of people who know the play off That's by good. Heart, and their stuff still comes through.
Sounds like fun.
It was a lot of fun. I like, I don't know if all plays are like this, but it was really good.
Sounds good.
I enjoy it. I highly suggest people go see a play of Rocky Horror Picture Show.
A live play, as you put it?
A live play. Not a pre-recorded play.
No.
Like, you got to be in it.
Not a movie?
You got to be in it to win it.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was super fun.
That's good to hear.
And that's been my whole week.
Cool.
Oh, about a Poke Walker.
Wow. Wow. You sound so proud.
What? My mom lost my other one because she went jogging with it and she lost it.
That's a story.
My Psyduck's gone. I put a Psyduck on that motherfucker, now it's gone. So I bought a new one. Came with Gyarados.
Oh, it was used.
Yeah, it was a used one.
Wow. Someone else's Poke Walker.
Yeah, but you can. I could go back into, was it Diamond and Pearl? I can go back into, or was it Heart Gold Soul Silver?
Heart Gold Soul Silver.
Yeah, I can go back into my Soul Silver and then link this new one.
Doesn't matter, man.
Whatever.
Ain't fresh.
I'm putting Psyduck back in that motherfucker.
Oh, okay. You actually use it?
I did until it was gone.
No, are you going to use this new one?
We'll see.
Okay.
But it really bothered me to have a non-complete inbox of Pokemon Soul Silver.
That's sad. That's real sad.
Is it though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just making sure.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty sad.
Okay, fine.
Okay. My week. So 2 weeks ago, I talked about Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I watched like the first episode or something, right?
No, you watched like the first season.
No. 2 weeks ago.
Oh, 2 weeks ago. Okay.
I watched like the first two episodes. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Last week, I watched the remaining 20 episodes in that season.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really good. So this week, I decided I would watch season 2 and 3.
Dear God.
And that's why I didn't play any video games.
Guess who else did this? my girlfriend did this.
Oh, she's awesome.
It was so weird because she would send me a text being like, I just marathoned like 2 seasons of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
That show's amazing.
Yeah.
And then like an hour later, it'd be a tweet from you.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, I just marathoned 2 seasons. I'm like, what is happening right now? Oh my God. It was so weird.
It's fucking hilarious. It's really good. I know I complained last week about like the weird set design.
Yeah.
It's still
weird.
It's still kind of like boring and whatever. But the characters make that show... seasons 1 and 2 are awesome. Season 3 is good, but there's a weird thing that happens in season 3.
Uh-huh.
So like the first 2 seasons are kind of, they have this sort of like love story. That's the through line.
Okay.
It's the classic Ross and Rachel. You know what okay. I mean by that, right?
Yeah.
So they have, but they act on it in season 3.
Okay.
And the minute they act on it, those two characters almost never interact anymore.
Oh.
Like, huh. You know, like that kind of like cute chemistry that, like, I don't really have it anymore. Like, it's just like, we did that, and now we can move on. It's just like, and it's like, it's not as fun anymore.
Do you think they got tired of that?
I think they had to get rid of it early because they didn't want it to last forever.
Oh, okay.
Which kind of disappointed because I always loved their banter, and especially helps that the character Amy, I really like her.
Do they still have banter? Like, do those characters just cease to exist, or...
No, they're still there.
Are they still bantering, but now because they're a couple, it's not...
No, it's not that. It's just, you get the sense that their couple life, a lot of it happens off screen.
Oh, okay.
And being part of the police force, they're almost never paired up anymore.
Oh, okay.
Because
they're a couple.
Yeah. So, that's that. But the second thing that happens is that character, the girl portion, in real life, she gets pregnant.
Okay.
And so for the second half of the season, she's in full third trimester.
Whoa!
Right? And so this is just something because I know what to look for, but it was super distracting to watch her because they would put her in huge clothes.
Oh, they didn't play off the fact that she was pregnant?
Like, no! Oh, they tried weird. To hide that she's pregnant. So at the beginning, when her stomach is large but still manageable enough, yeah, she would just have large shirts or sweaters. Her suit jacket would always be unbuttoned, but they'd only film her from the side. Hmm. So you could see that the jacket would cover up. And then we'd get to the point that her stomach is a bit too big. Let's have her be in different situations, like, how about we just put a box in front of her? And so there is a couple scenes where they're in like the file room.
Okay.
And there's a bunch of boxes of files. And they're all standing in a line. She's the only one with piles of boxes in front of her.
And she's like leaning on the boxes.
No, you can just barely see over her chest.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That seems like a wasted opportunity. Like, that seems like a lot of good jokes could have came from that.
Yeah. And then it gets to the point where her stomach is so huge and you could tell that like she can't be standing too long.
Yeah.
So they just have her seated in every scene. And you can't see under the table.
Huh.
And then in the final two episodes, they have some elaborate undercover situation where she needs to be pregnant. So that got a bit distracting, but for me the thing that really sucked about it was you know how on all sitcoms they usually have a major plot for every episode,
yeah,
a minor plot, mm-hmm. and there's a ton of little subplots.
Yeah,
she used to always be part of the major plot, but ever since she got pregnant they put her back all into subplot roles. And so you could tell like the entire rest of the cast is having fun doing their own thing, but she's pretty much limited. She's
just looking at this baby like, oh,
you've done she, like, this. She, yeah, she's like, because a lot of her, okay, what's her, well, who's the A-type in Community? What's her face?
Annie.
You know, Annie's very energetic. She has to walk around a lot. Yeah. A lot of body movement. A lot of acting is through movement.
Yeah.
Amy's the same way in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but because she got pregnant, she can't do anything.
Oh.
And so it's kind of just like, oh man, you are the one little stain on the season.
It's like, I wonder, I felt like that could have been a story. Like, there are a couple now. She gets pregnant.
But they're not that kind of couple. They're not like... I say there's a love story, but it's not like lovey-dovey stuff.
Oh, it's just like cash?
No, they're in a serious relationship, but it's never the center of the show.
Oh, okay.
Like, it's not one of those type of dramatic scenarios. It's just... It's there. It's a thing. It happens.
Okay.
But the show is about the precinct.
All right.
So, yeah, that was my only thing, but... I still recommend it. I feel like I should go back and watch Parks and Rec.
I heard that's really good, too.
Because those writers, they're the same writers, same creative team.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, well, there's 6 seasons of that, so I could do that.
Is that show over?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. That show ended, and they made Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, okay. I thought they were doing both.
No. So, yeah, no, but I definitely recommend that. That show is amazing. If you're wondering, I'll watch seasons 2 in one day and season 3 the following day.
You're a nutcase.
Yeah. I didn't sleep.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
It was nuts. I was like, I should pace myself, but no.
Nah.
Didn't happen. I'm a binge. Didn't happen. I did that, and then I played a singular video game.
Singular video game?
Yeah, I played Mirror's Edge Catalyst.
The closed beta?
The closed beta.
So fancy. You're so... You got that beta privilege.
I do. That's still Mirror's Edge.
Okay, so... I hear the biggest thing is the combat. Change.
Yeah.
How's the combat in an open world Mirror's Edge?
Simple.
I saw a lot of things where it's like if you make enemies collide with geometry or with other enemies, like they take more damage.
They do.
Does that ever play into like combo chains? Like punch into a dude, punch both guys, or
Nope.
Does the free running seem to have changed anymore?
Not that I can tell. It's still the same, like you jump, you slide.
How is the open world set up? Is there like side mission time trials?
There's tons of that stuff.
Okay.
Tons of that stuff. A lot of point A to point B, deliver this package.
Okay.
Do this, whatnot.
So, but it's fish. Deliver it before it rots.
Sure.
Okay.
Something like that. It's Yeah, I don't know. It's still Mirror's Edge. Like, I feel like nothing's changed. Like, it looks better.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember if the original ran at 60 frames.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, this one does.
Okay.
And that makes it awesome. The combat is simple, but basically, it's you mash on square to combo. That's okay. It. Triangle is like your power move.
All right.
Because I think it's either she just has really strong kicks or she has like lightning kicks.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Chun-Li.
Something like that. It's a stun kick. And you can circle strafe people.
Okay.
Like you can, if you're looking at someone and you're holding like left or right and you press the R2 button.
It's like a lock on?
No, it just kind of knows the circle strafe.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just immediate. But it just gets so boring because it's like this. It'll be like this enemy, you can only hit him once and then he will counter you. So you need to circle strafe. So it turns into punch, circle strafe, punch, circle strafe, punch, circle strafe.
The combat was always the most boring part of the original Mirror's Edge. Yeah. And whenever they bottlenecked you into having to fight someone, that was always the worst.
The best part about the combat now is she has a dive kick.
Cool.
So you could jump off walls or stuff, and then you could do it, and she literally does a dive kick.
Awesome.
And it's almost always instant kill.
Awesome.
But I still won't use it because the other thing, I can't remember if they included this in the first Mirror's Edge, but the thing that they did this now is if you're running and you just tap on the square button, you can hit them. You won't do much damage, but you'll momentarily stun them, but you won't lose your free running speed.
Oh, awesome.
So you can basically run through people.
Okay, that never happens.
Yeah. So I don't fight unless I'm forced to.
That's cool.
There's leaderboards for point A to point B things. Yeah, it's Mirror's Edge. It's, I don't know, I was super psyched when this game was announced, but then I played it, I'm like, I mean, it's cool. It's a cool idea, but I guess I just wish it was a bit more fun.
Yeah, so I always thought Mirror's Edge was kind of mediocre.
Yeah.
But my favorite parts were the time trials.
Yeah.
The only thing that broke the time trials for me was there was a discovery of this glitch where, at least on the PC, I think you could do it on the PS3 or consoles as well, but I think it was just a lot harder. Mm. Where when you're, say you're running, or you're looking in one direction.
Yeah.
If you quickly 180 turn to the other direction,
yeah,
it'll count as like you bounced off a wall.
Yeah.
And so you'll push off of nothing and instantly gain max momentum.
Oh.
And so people were using that to get like insane times.
Yeah.
And it kind of broke time trials.
Yeah.
So like if they can fix those kind of glitches,
yeah,
I'm down for like just that'll be my leaderboard game. Like,
yeah,
check out my fastest time.
Yeah. Nah, man. It's cool. I still don't like the character redesign on Faith.
What's changed?
Oliver.
Is it?
Well, they basically changed her face.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. To me, she just looks like a cheap Asian prostitute.
Okay.
And I think it doesn't help the fact that her voice sounds like
a cheap Asian prostitute?
No. It totally sounds like some white chick.
Huh.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's because, you know, I have a lot of Asian friends, and so like I have this in my mind what even North American born Asian girls sound like. Mm-hmm. But this to me just sounds like, nah, you're white.
Does Faith at any point say that she is getting turnt AF?
Who knows? I haven't played very long. But in this postmodern high society, she just might. She just might. I don't know. I don't know why that bugs me, but it does. That was Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Oh, by the way, I was playing on the Xbox One.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's that. That's it for the episode.
Yeah.
I think we're going to end it here. Call wraps. If you are also listening to our anime club, look for that later on this week.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be up shortly. Otherwise, we'll come back in 7 days' time with another thrilling installment.
Hopefully more thrilling than this. Than the last two.
More thrilling?
Yeah, more. Can we have it more thrilling?
No.
No.
No. Okay, I don't approve the thrilling. See you guys next week.
Bye.